This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Howard. Very well, thank you. Nice to chat to you.
Nice to speak to you. Vic, do you recall, you know, we were just talking before you joined us about this horrific comment by Russia that, well, Hitler had Jewish lineage. Yeah. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, what's the origin?
The origin is a Russian forgery. And way back when, my memory is fading me in terms of the exact date, but from memory, something like the end of the 19th century, it was a Russian forgery, which, for those who are unaware, purports to say that Jews have a demonic plot to take over the world. You know, banks, movie houses, industry, business, every possible area of civil society. So yes, a Russian forgery, and then it was picked up in France and disseminated again. But yes, that is the origin.
Right.
That was the origin.
So no surprise that this type of thing now coming out of Russia as well. Very, very concerning.
Appalling.
Appalling. Yeah, we'll see where that leads. Anti-Semitic daubings on a Jewish candidate for federal election. Tell us about this.
And sadly, more than one Jewish candidate. So as we mentioned before, the federal election is happening in this country on May 21, so 3 weeks' time, just short of 3 weeks. And obviously, candidates are here, there, and everywhere, and with posters everywhere. And so just in the last few hours, a very highly regarded professor in Canberra, the nation's capital, his name is Kim Rubenstein, had posters up, election posters. She's standing as an independent, and people daubed on one of her posters, Shoah, as in S-H-O-A-H, Shoah your support, with yellow stars underneath for good measure. On another poster, Kosher Kim, her name is Kim Rubenstein, so pretty ugly. And then the name we've mentioned before as well, Josh Frydenberg, he's the treasurer of this country, one of the political leaders of the country, obviously very openly, proudly Jewish. He has had some of his posters smeared with swastika on his forehead, a Photoshop where he's inside a Nazi uniform, and then a Labour Party sitting MP, also from Melbourne, Josh Burns, has also had anti-Semitic graffiti. So there you have, from all directions, from Liberals, which is conservative, from Labour, Independents, and this would be comical if not tragic, even some non-Jewish candidates have had anti-Semitic daubings on
Shame.
Their posters.
That's almost
so
unfair. I mean, what have they done to deserve this? That's terrible.
Well, exactly. So pretty ugly and, sadly, just not entirely unexpected.
No, that is really, really, it's just bizarre. It's just that this type of crass, crude anti-Semitism is still around is just so perplexing. It's just phenomenal.
Exactly right. And as Kim Rubenstein said, when media, you know, asked her to comment, she said, you know, if you want to disagree with me, bavakasha, disagree with me. But do it in a respectful way. You don't need to resort to bigotry and anti-Semitism and racism and, you know, and in just really ugly, ugly commentary.
Absolutely right. Single Jewish man granted permission to become a father through surrogacy. Tell us the story.
Interesting one. So his name is Sean Resnick, lives in Melbourne. And late last year, he became the first single man in Melbourne to be granted permission to become a father through surrogacy. And just very recently now, his baby, named Ellie, was born. He's 44 years old, and he said that, you know, just as women have biological clocks, so do men. And he always wanted a child, he said, always wanted a baby, and now 44 and didn't have any partner on the horizon who could give him a baby. So he applied to the court, and as I said, late last year, the government of Victoria, that of the state where Melbourne is, gave him permission to become a father. And then it's taken a while to find a surrogate partner who, you know, where there was a match which worked for him and for the partner, etc. And now he has had a baby. So he is delighted. His surrogate is delighted. And just a first, and just, you know, very not a common thing to happen at all. certainly in the country and certainly within the community.
Absolutely amazing. Bereaved Israeli Australian family calls for terrorists to be extradited.
We've spoken about it before. So many 20 years ago, in fact, there was one of those terrible, every terrorist attack is terrible, in Jerusalem, the Sabara Pizzeria, where 15 people were killed and over 100 injured. One of those was killed with a young girl, 15-year-old Malki Roth, and her father, Arnold Roth, is former Australian, and her mother is former American, and they've been living in Israel for some time. And there's a woman whose name is Ahmed Tamimi, who was one of those who organized and helped carry out the suicide bombing, drove the suicide bomber to the restaurant and then drove away afterwards, and was later caught by the Israelis, put in prison for 15 life sentences. But unfortunately, was one of those who was released some time ago when there were a lot of terrorists who were released in exchange for Gilad Shalit. She went back into Jordan, where she came from, is a celebrated media figure there. And because Malki Roth is partly American, her parents had been lobbying the United States to have Tamimi extradited to the U.S. to face justice there. And just some years ago, the FBI put this woman, Tamimi, on their most wanted terrorist list. And so Malki Roth's parents, Arnold and Primit Roth, are lobbying the United States and Israel, in fact, to extradite this terrorist to the U.S. so she can face justice, as opposed to being a celebrated media personality in Jordan. So a pretty tragic story all around. And about 20,000 people have signed a petition to have Tamimi extradited to the U.S.
That is really, really unbelievable. There's still a little bit of time. I wanted to hear from you what happens over the next couple of days with Yom HaZikaron as well as Yom HaTzmaot in terms of the Australian Jewish community.
Well, it seems to be, I don't want to jinx anything, but the people are, and society is, and community is moving on from COVID as a restrictive presence. And so there are, what's the word, human? There are both Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaot.
Right.
In person, thank you, is the word I was searching for, is taking place, and that's happening next week. And so the Yom HaZikaron one is, and with no big surprise, is always very heavily populated and supported by Israeli expats, and is always a very moving ceremony. And then very soon after that, there'll be a Yom HaTzmaot where the premier of the state and ministers and several hundred people will turn out. And there's a new ambassador in the country, a new Israeli ambassador, who will be speaking, etc. So very much happening again in person, which is obviously very welcome.
It really is incredible that we are finally getting back to some form of normality. Not that a commemoration of Yom HaZikaron should be normality, if we think about it.
Exactly.
It's really not like that at all. But are there concerns generally in Australia, as there would be in other places around the world, that you'll need additional security, that these events are of a concern in terms of security?
That is absolutely a given. So first of all, there's security at several levels, at the state police level, at the federal police level. And obviously, as I mentioned, we have the Israeli ambassador. So the ambassador does not buy an ice cream without security all around, etc. And then as well, senior politicians. So for so many reasons, there is heightened security at these events. Absolutely, yes.
It is 6:58. I'm Howard Feldman. Vic Aladev, thank you. As always, fascinating report.